Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go for him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink out, cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Well, good morning. It is good to see you here this morning. Last week, I started a two-part sermon on looking at the four times that Jesus said, "You of little faith." And I, at that time, shared with you that I plan to conclude that two-part message in the evening, which may have been a little foolish of me when I said I will be able to judge how it went in the morning by the attendance in the evening, because none of you showed up Sunday night. It may have been because of the fog and the service was canceled. Nevertheless, I feel at peace that this is something that God would have me finish. So if you intentionally stayed away last night, not wanting to hear this message, maybe God has other plans for you. So maybe you ought to pay a little attention this morning. The first time that Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith," was to the nation Israel in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. Israel had been enjoying and consistently enjoyed God's care and provision, as they were identified as the apple of his eye. Thus, the context of Jesus' reprimand was, "Don't put your confidence in the things of this world, where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. Also, you don't need to worry about the things that you need. God knows what you have need of, and he has provided his care for you. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and you will enjoy his provision." I am certain that if we open the mic to you, many of you would be able to give personal testimony of the amazing ways God bountifully has provided and protected. The second time Jesus said, "Ye of little faith," was to the disciples as they were in a boat. Jesus was asleep and a storm rose up, and the disciples, believing that they were in great danger, went and woke him up and said, "Save us." And Jesus responded to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Were they safe because Jesus was physically with them, and this was not the way things were going to play out for him, to be drowned in the Sea of Galilee? If that were true, then the value of that for us today, aside from understanding that Jesus had the power and authority over the wind and the sea, was limited. No, Christ is with us, and he is ultimately in control of all things that pertain to us as his children. Let us not be people of a little faith, living in fear, but trust and call for him. This morning, I would like to draw your attention to the two other times that Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." And the third time, he was not speaking to the nation. He was not speaking to his disciples. He was speaking to an individual. And the setting was Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, had just been killed. Jesus and his disciples were looking for a quiet and time to deal with this and to mourn. But the multitudes followed him. They stayed with him. They watched where he was going. And when Jesus saw them, he felt compassion on them and he ministered to them. In Matthew 14. And here we pick up the story in Matthew 14, starting at verse 15. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and the hour is already late. So send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for them, for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them over to me." In ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the disciples. Gave them to the multitude, or to the crowd, and they all ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left in over the broken piece of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. There was about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children. This event, the feeding of the 5,000, made a significant impact upon those who recorded the Gospels. Up until the Passion Week, this is the only miracle all 4 of the Gospels included in their account of Jesus' life. And something significant happened right after this event. Immediately, Jesus sends his disciples out in the boat. Why? I think the Gospel of John helps us to understand that. In John 6, 14 and 15, when the people saw the sign that he had done, that he had performed, how he had fed the multitudes with his boys' lunch, they said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountains by himself alone. Doing this, the multitudes taking Jesus by force to make him their king would have played right into the thinking of the disciples. Jesus knew that. This was not the way he was going to be their king, and this is not the kingdom that he came to command, to rule. So he sent the disciples away. I believe he sent the disciples away to protect them. And then he went up into the mountain to pray. And then we come to the miracle out at the sea. After he sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary in the 4th watch of the night, which was between 3 and 6 in the morning. He came to them walking on the sea. Initially, they thought that they were seeing a ghost. This really refutes the thinking, seeing is believing, but rather believing is seeing. For they knew that people could not walk on the water, so it could not be a person. What else could it be? And Jesus called out and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Peter speaks up and says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter climbs out of the boat and starts walking on the water to Jesus. And then he takes his eyes off Jesus. And the scripture says in Matthew 14:30, "And seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?' When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'You are certainly God's son.'" So this is the third time that Jesus uttered those words, "You of little faith." It wasn't directed to the nation Israel. It wasn't directed to the disciples. It was directed to an individual. And we are tempted to judge Peter on this account. Some would say, "Peter, you failed. What an opportunity you had. What an amazing thing. And yet you failed." And others of us would come to Peter's defense. "None of the other disciples got out of the boat. And walking on the water is pretty heady stuff, even if it was for just a little ways." So why did Peter sink and have to call out to the Lord? Oh, and by the way, it tells us here that our prayers don't have to be long. This is pretty short. "Jesus, save me." He took his eyes off Jesus, and he became fearful of the situation that he was in, and his faith was distracted. Today, this is a pretty common story of Scripture. But what do we learn from it? If you want to do great things in the name of the Lord, it would seem to me that we can gather from this passage that we can ask. Ask. Ask God to use you. And if he invites you to come, believe, trust, and act. And most important, keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Be a person of faith. Be a person of much faith. If you're surrendering your life, if you're asking Jesus to use you for his glory, keep your eyes on him. Because things can become uncertain. And storms can arise. And things can distract us from our faith, our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe there's a special application for us here and in the comfort of our surroundings today. I can appreciate the world thinking when we have missionaries come to share their mission, their calling, their need, that they're only coming for financial support, and for some that may be right. And maybe even some of us think that way. But trust me, this isn't so. Especially for returning missionaries who know what it's like to be in the challenge of the storm, in challenging situations, and needing God's intervention, needing God's guidance, needing God's aid. From a physical perspective, yes, they need financial support. But from a spiritual perspective, the reason for which they actually have gone to where God has called them, they need prayerful support. They need us to continue to uphold them, that they keep their eyes on Jesus in the midst of challenge. If we have made that commitment to them, and they have left us to go to where the Lord has called them, I would encourage you to keep your commitment in lifting them before the Lord. They're counting on us. The last time that Jesus said, "O ye of little faith," happened in Matthew 16. Jesus is addressing people with, "You of little faith." The chapter opens with him having a discussion with the Pharisees and the Sadducees who had come to him to test him, imploring him, "Show us a sign. Prove yourself to us who you are." Now, these two groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, had little respect and no appreciation for each other. Yet they joined together as a united attack on Jesus. And Jesus, knowing their motives, said in Matthew 16:4, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah. For they had received plenty of evidence of Jesus' authority, of Jesus' power, of Jesus' claim." And what was the sign that Jesus was referring to, that this was the sign that they would receive? This sign of Jonah? Just as Jonah was in the belly of a great fish for 3 days, so Jesus would die and would be in a dead man's tomb for 3 days. It's interesting that as Jesus told them that this is the sign that you're going to receive, when it happened, they tried to cover it up and totally disregard it. But that is not who Jesus was addressing when he said, "You of little faith." For the passage continued, and Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he warns them of the teaching and the impact of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And in verse 6, he says, "Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Now, that may be like some of us who are preoccupied with our next meal. Because, well, actually, I've been accused of thinking too much on that, according to my wife, as to what are we eating next. The disciples misunderstood Jesus' warning when he said, "Watch out and be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees," because they thought that he was talking about food. And they had forgot to bring any. And as they were discussing amongst themselves this, the scripture says in verse 8 of Matthew 16, "But Jesus, aware of this, said, 'You men of little faith, why do you discuss amongst yourself that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets full were picked up? And the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many large baskets full you picked up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees.' And they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Not only did these disciples misunderstand Jesus' warning concerning the teaching of these who claimed to be proclaiming the truth, but that they missed the lesson of the feeding of the 5,000. And what is the lesson of the feeding of the multitudes, the 5,000 with a small boy's lunch? and the 4,000 with 7 loaves of bread? The lesson is this, folks. With Jesus, our problem is no problem. When we're living and facing a storm, when we're facing uncertainty, when we don't know what's coming, but we know something is coming, if we are in Christ, if we have surrendered our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, our problem is no problem. For we are in the palm of His hand. And He knows our need. He knows what's coming. He knows our today and our tomorrow. So in conclusion, with the Jews laying up treasures on earth in Matthew 6, worrying about how they will meet their need, Jesus said, "You have little faith. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things, all their need, will be added to you." Then in Matthew 8, while they were in the midst of the storm, Jesus asked, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? We have Him to trust in. And He is able to quieten the winds, to still the storms, to correct our situation, if that is according to His will. But whether we correct it or not, we continue to enjoy not only His presence, but His protection and His provision as children of God." And this morning, we looked at Matthew 14 as Jesus helps Peter back in the boat and asks, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Strongly, clearly encouraging us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And in Matthew 16, when the disciples misunderstood the lesson of the feeding of the multitudes, not once, but twice, Jesus teaches them that with Me, your problem is no problem. So what do we take away from this? When challenges come, ask yourself, is there something I need to learn from this? Because there's life lessons that Jesus brings into our lives. And just because things are not the way we would choose them or even expect them to be, that does not mean that God has left us or is unaware or even is unable to help us. Because He most certainly is aware and He is able. But how many times we find ourselves in difficult situations and we resort to fret and fuss and worry instead of resting and enjoying our position, our wonderful position in His presence, living in the presence of Almighty God. What an amazing place to be. And even amid the storm, remember that Jesus has promised us, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But you know the way where I'm going." Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me." This life is not our eternal home. We will, unless Christ returns, all depart from here. We have available to us his wonderful provision and promise that if we but accept him as our Lord and Savior, confessing him of our sin and trusting on the cross. There were so many songs this morning focused upon the cross. Trusting in what Jesus has done for us. We can have that hope. We can have that confidence even if the storm continues to rage. May we be men and women of faith. Even great faith, so that God is able to do more than what we ask or can even imagine. To him be the glory. Let me pray. Father, we bow before you with gratefulness that we are able to find ourselves in the palm of your hand. And Lord, we pray that if there's anyone here that does not know that and has not experienced that, and some of us maybe not living in that with that confidence and faith, so that we are caught up with the fret and the concerns of our lives. Lord, may we know the blessings of our lives surrendered to you. Thank you for such promise that you have given to us. Lord God, may it not be said of us, O ye of little faith. And yet so often we can get caught up into the things of this world, into the distractions of the storm, and take our eyes off you. Encourage us, we pray, to walk in obedience and faith and trust. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.